I'm the vicar here. If this is your first evening or one of your first services at All Saints, it's a good Sunday to be here. We're thinking tonight about what God is calling us to do and to be in 2015. It was actually 143 years ago that the very first people came to sit where you are today. The first time anybody sat where you are was in 1872. And a man called Samuel Wilberforce, he was Bishop Samuel Wilberforce, nicknamed Soapy Sam, he led the service and prayed. We know this because Peckham Society have given me the details. He prayed that this space here where we are tonight would be a space of blessing for Peckham and indeed beyond. And in the 143 years since, God has been answering that prayer in the best moments of All Saints. We're asking tonight, what does God want to do with that prayer of Soapy Sam 143 years ago? And we as a PCC, that's a bit of Anglican jargon, which stands for Parochial Church Council. They make the decisions affecting us. Together with our staff team, we've got a staff team here. Our great privilege to have a really large staff team. And some of us meet together once a month at something called The Link. We've been praying and talking and thinking about this. And we believe 2015, very significant year. We believe it's essentially two things that in the next few minutes we want to talk about. Number one, in different ways, we believe God's calling us open up this church and this old site in ways we're going to talk about. To take away, if you've got your herald, that's the bit of Old Saints jargon for your news sheet. If you could take that, keep it in one hand, Mark chapter 3 open in the other. On the front, you'll see two signs. To take away signs like the one on the right-hand side that say, restricted area, keep out. Anything we do or have here, which has got, as it were, this sign on, in invisible letters, but nevertheless a sign that says this, to tear it out. Secondly, we're thinking about how any sign, or maybe it's one in our heads that says, no exit. That there's no exit for Jesus the moment we go outside. We can talk about, sing about, think about Jesus in here, but the moment I'm outside, well, it feels a pretty godless place. No, we're thinking about how Jesus is sending us out at All Saints and actually going with us. These two things. And just when you're thinking at some point in the next few minutes, okay, Jonathan, that's interesting theology. Maybe you agree with it. Maybe you don't. We're going to be talking very practically, just very practically, pounds, shillings, and pence. What exactly taking away these two signs look like? We can understand, I find, what this is about when we look at Jesus in the synagogue in Mark chapter 3. And here, effectively, in verses 1 to 6 of Mark chapter 3, here is what he's doing, okay? Do you get what I mean? No, not exactly, Jonathan. I don't know what you mean. What is he doing? He goes into the synagogue, and there is there a man with a withered hand. And there are people in the synagogue. Maybe they've invited this man there because maybe he's not normally there. And if he is, this is how he's there. He's got his hand in his pocket because it's a shameful deformity. And there's walls on that synagogue with a sign on them. It's the sign, if you could just put it up there, Doug, if you would. Restricted area. If you with your withered hands are going to come in here, if you must, then at the very least, you've got to keep it under wraps. It was a sign that said to certain types of people in the first century, if you've got certain conditions or illnesses or backgrounds or practices in your life that make you unclean, this is a restricted area. Keep out. There was a wall with a sign on it that said this, and this man, like I say, might have been invited by these religious people with their religious walls to trap Jesus. And Jesus comes, as he regularly does in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to do that. To take down walls with a sign on that say, this is a restricted area for those who are good enough or worthy enough or whatever it is. Jesus wants to take any sign like that down. And he's opening up the synagogue here to be a place for all comers. It's what he's doing here too. Every year since 1872. Here's how Jesus put it in another place. He said, it's not the healthy you need a doctor, it's the sick. The qualification for coming into my Father's house is that you've got something that needs restoring. He puts this, verse 4, in the form of a question. Can you see verse 4? He says this, doesn't he? Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? It's to do good, obviously. So this year, we've been asking, God, what is the good that you want to do here? Or to put it another way, so can you put up the next slide if you would? How do you want to make this space for good in Peckham so that Soapy Sam's prayer can actually be answered in a very significant way this year? To take away one at a time any sign that says, keep out. And what Jesus is doing here in the synagogue, it's not a one-off. He does the same with anyone he meets, bringing them into the community that's meant to be a space for good called the family of God that the synagogue is meant to reflect. See, the man with the withered hand, he says, stretch out your hand. Take it out of your first century pocket. Stretch it out. He says to a woman at a well whose life is shameful because of her background, he restores her like he restores the shriveled hand and calls her to follow him. He comes to a man called Zacchaeus. He's got like a shriveled heart. He's cheated his way to wealth. He says to him, let me restore your heart and put you back in the community. It says to a woman with a bleeding condition, let me restore you back into the community and into the family of God. He's in the healing, restoring business. And he's angry, verse 5. It says Jesus is angry. He doesn't often say that. It says it sometimes. And he's angry by the people who've put up walls with a sign on them, keep out, because you're not healthy enough or good enough. Or whatever it is. In the best moments of All Saints Church for 143 years, we've been trying by the grace of God to make space for good Jesus wants to do in Peckham. I'd like you to watch this video, if you would, and think about the front of our church, which it chose. Here at All Saints, there's a huge number of people, some of them on there, what's called the Fabric Committee. Others in the Garden Club, meets next Saturday, actually. At the last year in particular, years before that, trying to identify signs, we saw some of them there, that need changing. If you were with us last year, you might recall that once upon a time, there used to be a fence. It had its place in its time in front of what is now a community garden. Last year, we thought it was right to take away that fence and take away the message that said, keep out. There was a high hedge in front of this wall, which had its place in its time and was lovingly tended. We thought it was right to lower the hedge and let the light in. To put in plants, to take away litter, which like the weeds that are being pulled up next Saturday, are always returning, as we saw there. But there are still some other signs that are saying, keep out. One we changed with a new sign that has the correct service time for the evening service. Praise God. And it even spells my name right. It's just incredible. We thank God for this. But there are some other signs there that do need changing. There's a sign that says clergy and staff, possibly saying they're really important. There's a sign that we, by the grace of God and a lot of work, can take away very soon. Nick can talk about the cross on the top of the church. But there are a whole lot of other signs. One that we saw at the end is the padlock. Very important to have that padlock. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if a bit more this year at All Saints we thought that door and that one and that gate, the padlock wasn't on it. And we were saying like Jesus, welcome. It's why next Tuesday, day after tomorrow, and every Tuesday afterwards, that's being opened, and a little community cafe starts here. It's why last Saturday, as Jenny said, and every Saturday afterwards, an amazing thing called Food Cycle is cooking a meal. They've got about 100, a team of 100, mostly not all Saints people, cooking a meal for anybody who wants it, saying, come in. You see, this is the sign Jesus wants to put up. And we need to work some more to say, come in. If your finances are shriveled, come in and meet the Christians Against Poverty team. If your faith is shriveled, you're not really sure if God is even there, come in. For example, the Alpha course that's going on Wednesday. Raise high the roof beam, carpenters, so that the King of Glory will come in. And the King we know is the one Bishop Samuel Wilberforce prayed to. The King we know has in his wake people with deformed hands, with bad histories, with imperfect faith, who are tax collectors, who are prostitutes, who are sinners, who need restoration. This evening, we all of us come in with something needing restoring, I'm guessing. I come here this evening on Tuesday night, last Tuesday. My dad died. It was very bad. I'm not going to stretch this out now. It's just a bad thing. I just come with God to that. I am stretching it out at other moments, like at his funeral and Thanksgiving service next Friday and Saturday. But in different ways, at different times, we're invited into this space with whatever brokenness we have, whatever it is. Because it's meant to be a space for good, for restoration. And with me, like with you, your grief, if you have it, that doesn't happen like that. That happens over a long time. But we can come with all of this stuff. And you see, with the help of God, we're called just to open it up to safe people, because there's no sign on the wall saying keep out. Certainly not one that Jesus puts. And there's thousands of people walking past this church every evening as they return from work and pass this church to the station as they go to work or go to the shops, for whom Jesus and religion and church is an utter, utter irrelevance. And somehow we are invited with Jesus to get out the message, there is a loving God of extreme relevance in your grief, your debt, your guilt, your questions, your doubt, your addiction. There's a God who tears out any signs. Let's say, if you've got any of that stuff, keep out. No, no, he doesn't. Well, it's good if you're thinking, okay, so what? So what exactly are we going to be doing this year? I'm going to hand over to Nick to answer a little bit of that so what question.
Can I make a little recommendation to you that you never pray the prayer, God, do anything in your life, okay? Because you might suddenly find yourself stood up in front of a church talking about what's going on. My wife and I turned up 3 years ago at this church, and we were sat at the back, and we listened to Jonathan preach. And I left that, and I said to my wife as I was leaving, I said, I think God's telling me to help him. To which we then ignored for about 7 months, until the point that Jonathan said, we've got a job going here. I think you should think about applying for it. To which my wife said, no. So what do I do? Well, I do work here now. I work here 2 days a week, and my role is to help coordinate the back end of the office functions of the church. So that means that I help run some of the administration that goes behind the church scenes. And my job is to give you a tour of the engine room, some of the things that are going to come up in the year ahead, and give you a look back over the last couple of years of what happened. But as I do remember that God does answer prayer. When Jonathan said to me, I think you're called to potentially explore working here, and I left not a comfortable job, but a job that I was mildly bored in as a lawyer, it did turn out to be all right, because actually I do still work as a lawyer 3 days a week, and 2 days a week I do work for the church, and God is good and does provide. So please have that as I talk about some of the stuff that's going on. God does provide. So I started here in 2013, beginning of that year, a bit of background about the church is that there had been a previous incumbent, and then there had been an interregnum, and then there had been some staff changes. And we were into 2013 starting to just think about perhaps like some of the systems and processes that we needed to kind of take this church forward. Now, to give you some size of the task of this church, it has a £500,000 turnover. And just this building alone is insured for £5 million. So that gives you some idea of the size. We have, give or take, 2 full-time staff, because there's 4 of us that kind of do this administration behind the scenes. And when you add us up, we're about 2 full-time staff to run all of that infrastructure. Now, we do that with a load of unpaid people who offer probably hundreds of hours, if not thousands of hours, over the course of a year to support and do that. So in 2013, we kind of looked after some of the basics. We kind of got the financial record system, new email system, shared calendar, some of the boring stuff that you need to run stuff. And kind of we were kind of looking basically to try and kind of get as many people involved. There was a lot already going on, but we needed to kind of improve the communication structures. And then last year, we set to work kind of taking care of some of the foundations. So some of the things that happened, and trust me, you might never want to know about these things, are an asbestos report. They're very important. You might not know that. You probably don't want to know that, in fact. Stone report, rectifying our electrical faults, a revamping the IT structure. We've installed a new telephone system, a new photocopier, We've repaired the damp in the hall where the kitchen was falling into the ground. If you've seen, taken down some of the front stuff around the kind of garden, opening up. We've resolved a legal conundrum over who owns the church office. And most excitingly, the Stone report led us to conclude that we needed to do a lot of work on this building itself. And so one of the things you've probably noticed if you walk around this building is there's keep-outs tape. Well, luckily enough, we've had approval for that repair to go ahead in the next couple of months, so that's really exciting news. Now, that sounds really boring, doesn't it? Who wants to know about Stone Report? Well, actually, I'll let you into a secret. It's actually really important, because actually, 2015 is the year where things really get going. This cafe came out of an idea because we dropped down the fence. The food cycle could happen because we repaired the damp in the kitchen. And actually, 2015 is a really exciting year in All Saints that we really look forward to. We're going to look at two, if you like, goals over the next year. One is to look at the fabric of the building and to make some decisions about what we want to do with it. And the second is to think through really carefully how we can get out into the community and really be missional, really figure out what it means to serve amongst the people that we live. And we have a really strong belief at the PCC, the staff team, and the link, which kind of forms this hub of connecting both of those, that those are inherently things that need to happen together. Churches are doomed if they just become a building project. But this church is doomed if we don't fix it. The stonework, and this will give you some sense of the scale of some of the problems that, they're not problems, they're opportunities, requires about £1 million worth of work over the next 10 years to bring up to scratch. Now, we don't believe that we should just fix something without thinking through what we're doing. And so over the next 6 months, you're going to hear about a feasibility study which we budgeted for next year, for this year, now 2015. And we're going to want your input as to what we should do with the site. We're going to commission an architect to give us some options and to talk it through. And we've one of our staff members, Steve Trevitt, who regularly comes here but's not here tonight, who's also an architect, is going to kind of coordinate putting a brief together. Because we believe very strongly that God has a plan for this site and what we might want to do with it and what he might want to do with it, which is more important, and how it can serve Peckham. We believe just serving hot food once a week is just the start of something. Now, there's not many churches that can say they serve free food to anyone who wants it once a week, but we believe that is just the start. We believe this cafe is just the start of something. We want the whole site to be open. And we don't just want to spend £1 million on some stones because we think we should. We want to actually think through what's happening. In a moment, Jonathan's going to talk about that second opportunity, how we're going to start thinking about being missional. But before I do, I'm going to just talk to you through some of the nuts and bolts of the finances. So last year we set a budget of £495,505. And we spent £502,000. And for the mathematicians and the accountants amongst you, or just those people can add up, frankly, that's a bad thing because you've overspent your budget. However, because it's All Saints, because God is at work, our income last year was £532,000, which means we substantially made more than we anticipated. Now that comes mostly from standing orders and from the collection. However, because we believe in faith, we've set the budget for this year at £543,790, which is a big increase. And why are we doing that? Well, We've increased to a full 10% the amount of money we give to other churches and other organisations, mostly abroad, but also in this country. So we make it a priority to give 10% of our income away. We've set aside £5,000 for a feasibility study, which I've spoken about already. We need to complete urgent works, which I spoke about at the cross, and that's another £6,500. And we're increasing the cleaning in the church because we obviously have now got more people passing through it. And we also want to facilitate the missional work that Jonathan will speak about, and we're also introducing the pensions for the employees of the church. Now, we believe in setting that budget that every pound that comes in has to be carefully utilised. But the reason I'm standing here, frankly, is because that relies on your giving. And we're asking each of you to go away from today, and if you are part of this church and want to commit to this church, to think about if you can contribute to that. For some of you, that might be a one-off contribution. For others, a standing order. For others, just time. One of the things I haven't talked about is something called Who Lets the Dads Out. One of the most moving stories from last year, it's a monthly activity at the moment which we want to increase, but it meets on a Saturday morning, and it's just a place for people. I've got a small little daughter, but for dads and carers, male carers, to kind of gather with their children. Now, at the moment, we haven't got enough volunteers to run that more than once a month. But we ran it in December, and Matt Carey, who coordinates that, was opening up. Now, just so happened that day that somebody was walking past the church and said, "Why? What's this Who Lets the Dads Out?" And he explained it. And he looked at him, he had a small child with him, he said, "That's amazing. This is the only day I get with my boy." I didn't know what to do. See, that's what we're about here. And that's why we're asking for you to consider giving regularly, if you can. I don't know if there's a pie chart you can just put up. That just represents our income. Now, there's no myth, we're unique for a charity, churches always are. But the blue box is our standing orders. So we basically rely on most of that income. The next one after that is donations. So that's one-off donations as opposed to regular giving. And then we have green, which is the tax reclaim. So when people gift aid, we can claim back the basic rate tax that they claim. And then after that, we have the Sunday offering, which is why, and you should have in your herald today, and if not, there should be some at the back. We really do require your support, because the standing orders, if you like, are the architecture, the structural basis on which the church functions, and we know that money is going to come in. So that gives you some idea of the income. But seriously, can I say where I started at the beginning? God is amazing. Yes, pray crazy prayers, but he really does follow through. Thank you.
Just finally tonight, we're going to finish with where Jesus finishes in Mark chapter 3. He leaves the synagogue in verse 10, in verse 7. He goes out, as we'll be going out in a few minutes' time. And he wants to take down finally in this church, and indeed every church, any sign that says no exit, it's signs in our head that when we go out, it's like, God doesn't go with us. Yes, he does. Our budget, our vision tonight is of a God who isn't just wanting to make this space his space, but to make your space, wherever you are, a space with him. Let me put it this way. Can you put up the next slide, Doug? Can you think where you spend 10 hours of your normal week. It could be last week. 10 hours of your week. It could be if you got a long commute in the train or the car. It could be your workplace, school or college. It could be your home. Tell your neighbor what those 10 hours are, where you spend them. Carry on that conversation if you got one after this service. That place is a place where Jesus wants to use you. And I'm guessing that many of those things you've just said are exactly like the place that Jesus takes his disciple to in verse 7. It's very stressful. There's lots of people who want a little bit of him. He's got a load of things to do. If you read this through quickly, it could look like that Jesus is running away. But here's what's actually happening. He turns to his disciples who are, as he's out there meeting people in their real lives, and he turns to them and says, well, what are your day jobs? Some of you are fishermen. Will you help me? Will you help me with the skills that you have in your day job? And the resources that you have, your boat. And would you, like a taxi service, take me out from the shore? Jesus isn't running away from the crowds. No, verse 10 says he's healed probably hundreds of them. Mark 6, verse 34 said, Jesus looked at the crowds and had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. What he's doing, using the disciples' skills and resources and service, is to put out from shore, and does what he does regularly in the Gospels, to preach the good news of God, the compassion of God, getting out the message, you're welcome. Taking away any signs that say keep out and any signs that say God's only active in religious places. No, Jesus is usually out there. He's out there where people are. He's out there where you are, whatever your answer was. Doesn't feel like it. It feels like verses 7 to 12, where there are evil spirits all around, loads of hassle and stress. But Jesus wants to use your life. Your life is like the boat. Your life is like the boat. What you're good at, what your resources are. As Nick said, our money, our time, our heart. This is what he's using of the disciples who's happy to give it to. With this standing order form, for those of you for whom that's right, we're simply asking God's church here at All Saints to ask God, what do you want me to give to this mission that you have to get out your good news? Not usually using words, but getting out somehow the compassion of Jesus, to literally be, for the disciples, it was literally being a platform for Jesus. He's looking for disciples who, with our brokenness, with our shriveled hands, with our shriveled whatever it is, would you let me use you? And asking God, how do you want to use me? And for those of us who can, to give to this vision of the God who wants to use us. On May the 17th, that's a couple of months off, we're having what's called a breakout Sunday as a sign of this. That God's not just in here. Different people from All Saints that morning. We haven't yet spoken about the evening. We'll work it out. People are meeting in different places. People who live in Nunhead will be invited to a thing in Nunhead. People who live around here. We'll be going maybe to the Bussey building. We're working all this out. It's a breakout Sunday where we're gathering in different groups, doing different things that speak in some way of Jesus. Maybe some people will be doing some painting or litter picking or something else, if God so moves. And we're looking for people who are ready with the boat of their lives to use their gifts that Sunday to lead some of those groups and to facilitate them. To live out being a church that day in a different way, in a different place that Sunday. Because we have a God who is with us in the place you said a couple of minutes ago to your neighbor. A place where Jesus is and wants to use you and me. Anyone who's ready to say to God, here I am. Use me in my life. As the worship bands come up, I'm going to invite you, if you can, to take your herald, if you've got one. And if tonight has made any sense to you at all, to do what we've been talking about, to tear out those two signs. What you're doing is enacting what we believe God is wanting us to do in 2015. Take away signs from His church, our lives, but say, keep out to others. But do not express God's compassion. To take out the sign that says, no exit, as though you could only sing of God or think of God in this space. Because God does go with us. With all that's shriveled of us in our hearts, our minds, with our doubts, our griefs, our problems, our stresses, Jesus is the one who has compassion on the crowds and longs to get His good news out. As we remain seated for this song, I'm going to hand out a waste paper bin. It's partly to keep the cleaning team happy, but more importantly, it's an offering for you to put in the signs that we want to throw away. And then if you have got something to give that you want to give, we'll hand out a collection plate you can put in your offering tonight. Next week, we'll invite you to, if you've filled out the standing order form, you can put that in as well. Lord God, we pray that Your Spirit would break out here, that Your Spirit would continue to break out in Peckham, and that we who know You and love You would allow You to break out of us, that You would use us, the boat of our lives, to speak Your message of good news. Spirit, break out, we pray. Thank you.